Haines residents gather at the American Legion for the third annual Chilkat Valley Mining Forum. And alpinists from the Yukon and Southeast Alaska climb, ski, and snowboard Mount Rapinski at the third annual Cat to Coot race. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories and more are up next. The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. A motion to amend and adopt Title V is on the agenda, as well as a motion to amend Title 18 concerning resource extraction. Borough Manager Deborah Schnabel spoke to KHNS reporter Claire Strempel about the upcoming Haynesboro Assembly meeting.
So Title V has undergone several iterations at this point. Where does Title V stand?
We recognize that there are issues that are unresolved, but there are also issues that really are resolved, and there's agreement, and it will help facilitate the administration of tours in the upcoming years. So basically, we have cut out of the submission to the assembly the controversial issues, and we will leave those for another time. And the all the things that nobody has any heartache over will proceed, and that will allow us to be a lot more efficient and responsive over the upcoming year. And then probably, hopefully, not this late next year, but maybe at the end of this calendar year, we'll be able to go in with the changes or recommended amendments for the fee schedule and a couple of other issues that are still out there.
Which part of this meeting with this huge packet is of greatest interest to you? Is there anything that discussed tonight that you think stands to actually pretty strongly impact the borough and in the near future?
Well, I do think that the resource extraction debate is probably one that will always exist to a certain extent. What happened and why there is a controversy about it at this particular time is that the Planning Commission at the last meeting made a recommendation to the Assembly to recommend the amendment to allow major resource extraction in the Mud Bay Land Use Service Area or Mud Bay Zone on a conditional use. That had previously been prohibited in the first edition of the code or the ordinance.
That was Haynesboro Manager Deborah Schnabel in conversation with KHNS reporter Claire Strempel. Haynes residents gathered at the American Legion for a mining forum on Sunday. The event was organized by the Chilkat Valley Mining Forum Committee. The goal was to open discussion around the impact of mine development on communities. Constantine Metal Resources has been exploring a mineral deposit located about 35 miles north of Haynes for over 10 years. At this point, the Vancouver-based company is still assessing the site's potential for development. Much of Sunday's forum revolved around how to assess the community impacts of a mine before development takes place. Lance Miller is the Vice President of Natural Resources for Nana Regional Corporation. He has worked in the mineral industry for over 30 years. He gave a presentation about how the quality of life in the Northwest Arctic Borough has improved due to the economic opportunity brought by the Red Dog Mine. Miller also spoke about the logistical hurdles to mine development. He says it usually takes 16 years and $300 million just to find out if mining should happen at a site.
So to get to construction is sometimes a bit of a crapshoot. Hate to say it. Eventually, if things work out, a project might be a producing mine. But Alaska is fraught with a lot more projects that haven't happened than have happened.
Jody Mitchell, the CEO of Inside Passage Electric Cooperative, presented as well. Rather than discussing resource extraction, Mitchell gave a presentation about how Hoonah residents have responded to the development of Icy Strait Point as a cruise destination. Sheena Shaw, a socio-community specialist with Hemera Consulting, explained how assessments of a mine's socio-economic impact are conducted. During the question and answer session with the panel, Haynes resident and Assemblymember Stephanie Scott asked who pays for socio-economic impact assessments of a resource extraction project. Miller and Shaw responded that usually it is the proponent of the project. Shaw explained that a company trying to develop a mine is held responsible for the cost of the assessment rather than the community. When asked if that undermines the objectivity of the study, Shaw said that consulting firms' assessments are supposed to gather information rather than pass judgment on a project.
That's the purpose of the process. It's not really for me to kind of go in and say, oh, the project's, it should go ahead or it shouldn't, it's good or it's bad. It's to be able to create the space for that back and forth.
The forum was filmed by the Chilkat Valley Mining Forum Committee and will be available to watch online. Tokchinook Watershed Council is hosting a separate presentation about how mineral development has impacted the economies of small communities with Juneau economist Greg Erickson. The Watershed Council had tried to include Erickson in the Chilkat Valley Mining Forum, but he was rejected by the rest of the forum committee. Fresh snow and clear skies made for an excellent weekend of races during the Southeast Alaska State Fair's annual Winterfest. On Saturday, 67 people participated in the third annual Cat to Coot Alpine Race, organized by the Haines Alpine Touring Society. Early Saturday morning, alpinists gathered at the Southeast Alaska State Fairgrounds for a race up Mount Rapinski and down the backside to Chilkoot Inlet.
A pledge to align myself with the mountains.
I will roll with it no matter the conditions.
I will roll with it no matter the conditions.
Yeah!
Yeah!
After reciting the Haines Alpine Touring Society pledge, the teams made their way to the Piedad trailhead equipped with crampons, snowshoes, skis, and splitboards to climb 3,500 feet to the summit.
This is where we all stop and have beers.
It's nice today. Yeah. Woo. Great. We're getting there. Yeah.
Skiers Matthias Perdon, Colin Abbott, and David Gonda of Whitehorse finished first with a time of 2 hours and 20 minutes, breaking the previous record by 40 minutes. Haines splitboarders Bart Pietschel, Graham Kraft, and Ray Reeves came in second, followed by a mixed-gear team of Haines residents Leslie Cromwell, Johnny Cromwell, and Eric Stevens. Race participation increased by 23 people this year, with nearly half of the racers arriving from out of town. Money raised from the race will help fund the construction of a ski hut near Tuggahoe Mountain. For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also check us out on the NPR One app and Stitcher.